Hello.
Hello, I'm Alyssa.
I'm May.
And we have a podcast called Crazy in Bed.
Crazy semicolon in bed.
Yeah, this isn't a sex podcast. We mean like we're crazy and we spend a lot of time in bed.
A lot.
Yes, we have new episodes coming out every Monday on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.
Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please,
please, please listen.
We need this. This is all we have. We are fragile.
We're fragile and we could relapse.
Hanging by a thread, I'd say, but there's no thread, really. No, threads are too strong.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling's podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host, the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. the Patreon Don, a.k.a. Donnie Blacksky. I forgot. Well, I was bound to fuck this up at some point. The modern day goof. Coming at you like Cleopatra. Baby, baby. Gabba, gabba, wee. Gabba, wee. Gabba, gabba, gabba. Oof, man. This girl, she is mine. And damn, she's fine. Hey, baby. We're coming at you with another hot, hot week of professional wrestling action. But before we get into all of it, hey, remember, this is a five-star podcast. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. If you're listening, click it right now. Go on the internet, jabroni, and click 5 stars. Give us a review. Say, this podcast fucking rocks. Do it. Hey, also, we got the cash-in feature on the show. You can leave a voicemail, and your opinions will be on this show. Leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429-999. Yeah, yeah. Feel free to press all those nines. It'll still work. Hey, all right, let's get into the hot, hot action. Hey, oh, remember, we got a Patreon. Support the show. I'm trying to make this stand-up special of all professional wrestling material, and your money will go towards that. Become a patron, support the show, get you access to some bonus content and all that jazz. Check this out, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. And also, you can pick up a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/comediansofwrestling. All right, now let's get into the cool shit. All right, big week in pro wrestling. This is the go-home show.
Yeah.
Whoa, Nasty Newman's here.
Hey, how about it?
Anyway, so...
I got a cat.
You got a cat?
I got a cat, yeah.
Do we have time to talk about your cat this episode?
Nope, his name is Swizzle. Looks like NWO Sting.
He has the Sting face. We'll post it on the Instagram. Anyway, I'm glad we started the show off with the most important piece of news.
Well, I have...
Newman got a pet.
I'm a cat guy now, so I have to talk about my cat constantly.
Newman got a pet. All right, so maybe he'll be a little less nasty.
Yeah, we'll see.
You're going to end up like Natty Neidhart.
Natty
Neidhart. Little cat ears showing up. Yeah, so this is a go-home show for WrestleMania, the two go-home shows, for Royal Rumble. And they both, but Raw was Raw 25.
Right.
And we got the Rumble. Very exciting. The Rumble, we all know that the Rumble is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. Would you say that the Rumble is the on-ramp? To the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's the exit, or it's the entrance to the highway to WrestleMania.
Yeah. So right now you're backing out of your driveway and you're headed towards the highway entrance right now. That's what this week is. So metaphorically, this is taking a long time to get to the highway. All right, yeah. So let's get into Raw. You know what? I got a couple things to discuss before we get into it. Then we'll cover Raw 25, and then I'm going to fantasy book the Royal Rumble.
Cool.
Okay? Couple things out of the ring is one of our listeners, Charlie the Dryer Lint, shared on our Facebook page, Comedians Wrestling Facebook page. Not the time to plug that, I'm sorry. He posted something that was pretty serious, and it was something that he said it took him a lot of thought to think if he wanted to share it with us, and I'm glad he did, and I'm glad that he felt the comfort in this community to seek our support. You know, I think you don't want to go through things alone. And apparently they had found, found a tumor on the base of his skull. And we just want to wish him well, you know, and the Cal community. I'm glad that this show is part of your life and this community is something that is something that you seek for more than just entertainment. I think that's like, that means a lot to me. You know, we put a lot of effort into the show, and I think that that's, you know, that's like,
like,
you know,
a family.
Yeah, it's like a family. I think that's, it's amazing. You know, I'm searching for the words, you know, because I got a lot of words to say about wrestling, but I think it's like one of the most. So we wish you well, obviously. We said, you know, we know you're going to kick out at two. I think the most interesting thing is that when you said that line, and I wrote this on the Facebook page, my thoughts on it, my immediate thoughts that came to me is that he said the line that was like, is it weird that I'm still looking, thinking like, can I go to NXT?
Right.
Because he has NXT tickets. And my thought process was just like, no, that's not weird at all. My immediate thought process was like, no, that's not weird at all.
No.
You know? And I'm thinking like, why? It's like, because wrestling like really is important to us. It's not like, it's not just some show we watch. It's not just some fake, like, I don't watch wrestling to escape. Wrestling has like a symbiotic relationship with who I am. My people that inspire me are wrestlers. Like we said it in the bonus episode we were recording earlier, like The Rock is someone who inspires me. And specifically something that inspires me is like the perseverance of professional wrestlers. You can't, that stuff is not fake.
Yeah.
Right? Like the example I gave was like Shawn Michaels, who is one of many wrestlers who got a diagnosis where it's like, you'll never do this thing again. Mm-hmm. You'll never wrestle again. You know? And he went on to, and I actually, after I posted this, I went on to read a bunch of interviews with Shawn Michaels about this. And it's even, you know, now I'm obviously just summarizing it, you know, and simplifying. But he went on to have arguably the best decade of his career.
Yeah.
Right? And that was real. The whole time we knew this guy's back was fragile. And what did he do? He pushed himself through. I think, so that's a physical example of it. Daniel Bryan, think about the years Daniel Bryan spent on the indie scene being a guy who's 5'8".
Yeah.
Not big at all, but like believed like, oh, I can do it. I can do it. And that kind of blind optimism.
Yeah.
Right? That stuff is not in other shows. It's not in other products. We can complain about like Vince's booking and all Roman Reigns being pushed too much, but ultimately there's so many things happening that are inspiring in a way that's not some phony like Julia Roberts movie,
right?
Or like something like some kind of weird tear-jerking bullshit. Like, no, it's real.
Yeah.
And these moments are live. And Shawn Michaels, I still remember in the Flair match, dude's like probably almost 50 at that time, does like this flip onto the table because he's like, I'm going to wow this crowd. This means a lot to them. And I still remember it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, to me, to relate it all back, it's just like, you could see what humans are capable of when you will yourself to perform.
Yeah.
You know, like in perform, you can interpret however you want. Perform can just mean like being there for your family.
Yeah.
Right? Perform can just be fighting to stay alive, you know? And I think that it's not weird you want to go see wrestling. I think wrestling is integral to who I think anyone who listens to this podcast is, right? Like, we are the, like, we are, you know, Jabroniacs, Marks, WB Universers, whatever you want to call us, Marks, you know, whatever you want to call us. And it's why, like, when people ask the question, like, why do you like wrestling? It's so hard to answer.
Right.
It's so hard to answer because it's not just like, oh, you know, and I've done it. I've been on podcasts before where they're like, you know, I was on a podcast one time called like Make Me Like This. And it was like, I had to explain why to make it like it. And I love the host of those. Those are two of my favorite people. But it's like, no, actually, to be honest, it's like, I don't care if you like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't care if you like this because the thing I get from this, you might not need. But there's a thing that we get from it.
Yeah.
That you is priceless.
Yeah.
You know, and I think specifically this week to see the respect all these guys get when they come out, I think it's I think you did the right thing by sharing with us is my point. Because I think it's important to have community, and I think wrestling as in large is a community.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot, I think the inspiration of it and, you know, everything I just explained, you know, like the perseverance element of it, the humanity, the human condition, both physically and mentally on display constantly of professional wrestling in front of tens of thousands of people is a lesson, mm-hmm. a constant lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, like him, Charlie sharing that news kind of contextualized this podcast for me in like a whole new way. Like I've been helping you do this for, you know, maybe a year now. And it just seeing the kind of community and the kind of family that it actually is, like no other podcast, I think, has this. You know, it's not just a self-selected group of people who like the same thing. Like, there's a reason he felt comfortable coming to us with this.
Right.
And I think that that's...
Swamp-free zone.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, obviously, let's get back to our scheduled programming right here. But, like, Charlie, we wish you the best. And hopefully, let's keep us updated on everything that's going on with you and your family. And this is will be a... Hopefully... This is gonna be the worst of it. Is what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Hashtag anyway, kick out it too.
Kick yeah. Cool. Awesome. So speaking of community, let's get into something that's really positive that Charlie is a part of.
Yeah.
Is I want to give a shout out. I know we give Terrible Tulo a lot of shit on this show, and who knows what's kayfabe? But who knows?
Right.
He is some jabroni I went to high school with. But shout out to him for organizing the Royal Rumble pool.
Yeah.
We have 30 entrants into our pool, and everyone is paid up.
Yeah,
including me, even though I know in the cash in today, Tulo gives me shit for me and Skylar, Pitch, Mr. Perfect, Aston, I paid him today, and everyone's paid up. We have people from 12 different states.
No shit.
Not cities, states. 12 different states in this pool.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. Like, Tulo did a reading during SmackDown. It was really fun. Yeah, so props to Jabroniak, Terrible Tulo, who also, at Raw 25, got a Gabba Wee sign.
I mean.
With Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince and Shane.
Yeah.
Like, in plain sight, there's no other signs up.
Yeah.
Because no other fucking lunatic wants to block the view of Stone Cold when he's in the ring. Listen, I think this is Tulo's week.
Yeah.
Can we give it to him?
Yeah. I think he just entered Whack Pack status for for the Cow Nation.
Well, the Whack Pack element of Tulo is that for like 4 weeks straight, he's like, I'm going to do the reading live at the Rumble, at Raw 25. I'm going to pull all the names there a lot. And you're like, oh, all right, that's going to be so cool. He's going to be live in Barclays doing it. The second he left his house, I get a message from him like, yo, I forgot all the names. And I was like, yo, you've been talking about this forever. And I sent him a list of the names. He's like, all right, yeah. It's like, he had no paper.
No.
He had no paper, and he didn't do it. But he did it the next day, which made a lot more sense. But you should have thought about it beforehand. So the Rumble, let's see who wins. We'll see who wins this Rumble. I pulled a... number 4 in the men's Rumble, which I feel good about. And then number 27, the most winningest number in history for the women's Rumble. Although in history, the most winningest number of the women's Rumble is no number.
Yeah.
Is undefined.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, it's unprecedented. The winning number of the women's Royal Rumble will be whatever Ronda Rousey's number is.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so, cool. Another thing out of the ring... I want to get into is this week a real jabroni. A lot of stuff happened outside the ring for a week that had so much happening in the ring.
Yeah.
A real jabroni of a move happened to both myself and Newman. This week, me and Newman were both scheduled to shoot a promo.
Yep.
For a video with College Humor with John Cena.
Yeah.
We were supposed to shoot yesterday. Yeah, we were supposed to shoot yesterday, and I was like, "Yo, I gotta figure out like how to get a picture of him with the cow shirt on."
Yeah.
Like, we're like, "Yo, it's this is gonna be amazing." And then I wake up to the day before the shoot. I wake up to a an email, mm-hmm. just being like, "Hey,
we went in a different direction casting, which we know what that means,
right?
We picked." Other people.
Different actors.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my inside sources that I found out that they decided to use the regular cast at College Humor and whatever. But I just want to say this. College Humor. I have a lot of respect for College Humor.
Sure.
My first acting jobs were College Humor, you know? And I used to work there when they didn't pay.
Yeah, same here.
I was in New York, and they didn't pay, and I would do shoots for them, okay? Yeah. And then they started paying a little bit, and it was cool. I got exposure. I got some stuff for my reel, and so I respect them for that. I recently shot a video with them, this game contest thing called Actually, and I got them. I won.
Sure.
I won. Point is, I'm valuable to these guys, okay? And for them to tease a professional wrestling fan, a mark of this magnitude, of this magnitude, okay? And to wave John Cena in my face, it's like it's a casual enough for just an email. Of not that even apologetic of an email. No. We went a different direction. It's like, first off, this is the direction. You went the wrong direction.
You turned off the road.
The direction is now your wrestling name.
You're now tumbling through the forest because you are through the guardrail, off the road.
Yeah, you think you're for you and your big breakfast. I'm the fucking big brunch, okay? I'm eating for breakfast and lunch at the same time. You guys, I mean, what a fucking disappointment from a loyal actor.
Yeah.
Okay, and my point is like, you know what? I'm not going to end this. I'm going to mention this all the fucking time until you do right by me, College Humor.
Yeah.
Okay? I need to be in their next video with a star of the magnitude of John Cena. So The Rock, I will take The Rock. I will take Hogan. I will take a dead Macho Man Randy Savage. Ooh, but yeah, no, I mean, he's fucking disappointed. So Sam Reich, I know you. Top guy there. We're friends.
Top guy.
For now, we're friends. Yeah. We'll keep it as friends. But yo, you top guy over there. Do right by me. Get me in a video with a professional wrestler now, or I will stun you. The next time I see you walking around fucking Silver Lake, I will stun you.
Drop you on that stack of dimes you call a neck. Stone Cold Stunner right through 800 degrees pizza.
Oh, my God. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, honestly, look, it was so fucking.
If I can
it was
illustrate,
so shitty.
This is let me illustrate to you, College Humor, how badly you fucked up. Okay, I had friends on set, and they noticed on John Cena's back cuts from the guitar shot from Elias. Did you have a single person on set that could say to John Cena, "Hey, champ, nice guitar shot you took from Elias.
Yeah.
Great sell." No. Nobody on set.
Yeah, you think fucking Zach Oyama knows what the fucking chair shot is?
No.
No, he's just some fucking skinny jabroni. I mean, look, just fucking, you could have had some marks in there, make it Cena comfortable. He's probably not even going to come back for another fucking video.
Cena, you had him for an hour. He got back on his jet and he was like, you know what? I wish Dan and Alex were there.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, you fucked up so bad. Because you know what? I will never do a College Humor video again. Ever. I will never.
Until the next one.
No. No, that's the obvious joke. Until the next one with a professional wrestler is the answer. No, they got to do, you know, like, it's just, they also know that we're like wrestling fans. The casual email, it could have been nicer.
Sure.
It could have been nicer.
Yeah.
So the point is that, listen, Grant O'Brien, all the Brent Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Get him.
You're all getting stunned. The second I see anyone from the Big Breakfast staff.
I mean, Brennan Lee Mulligan, I'm about to walk up in the training center right now. I'll hear your laugh from a mile away.
Break his D&D board.
I'm going to break your D&D board. Drop you on that stack of dimes you call a neck. Nasty
what do you think,
Newman.
What do you think of fucking Oyama or when they're standing with John Cena, what they said to him? Look, I shot a thing one time with Johnny Depp, okay?
Sure.
And this is not a humble brag. This is a direct brag, okay? I'm the fucking best, okay? I shot a thing with Johnny fucking Depp, okay? And I was sitting there with him and I was like, you know what? I like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I bet someone else would like this experience a lot more than me.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet someone else is like, yo, Blow, I love Blow, I do Blow, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yo, man, Wonka remake was better than Gene Wilder. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some jabron there. Yo, Black Mask, that movie wasn't garbage.
Yeah.
Someone has these thoughts, okay? And they're not me.
Right.
And I was sitting there one-on-one talking to him about nothing because I had nothing to say to him.
Yeah.
You guys got to recognize, like, yo, Brennan Lee Mulligan, take a step back. Take a mulligan. Okay, and plug in a fucking jabron who will appreciate this experience. What did you say to him? You just said like, you got cool biceps.
Yeah.
No, I would have been like, yo, awesome job. This is what I would have said. Yo, you beat Cena is what I say.
All right.
I'll be like, yo, John. Honestly, John, like big fan. I really love what you do. I think that the fact that you have done more Make-A-Wishes than anyone in history is like, it's incredible. It's inspiring. And, you know, honestly, the work you do, it matters a great deal to me. I think what you do for kids is incredible. And I think when you go out of your way for these kids and also what you do for the product and how you put over younger wrestlers. Like last night, what you did. And it's amazing that you got here so early to work. You must have jumped around on the plane. But what you did for Elias last night, you put that guy over. You didn't have to do that. I know you have the pull in the company to not do that. And what you did was, it was awe-inspiring. And it helped people who listened to my podcast, the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, which I'm sure you've listened to. And it's inspiring. You have a legendary career, and I wish you all the luck in Hollywood in any way, shape, or form. And it's really great to be working with you today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just so glad that you and Alex were cast and nobody else was cast for this. I don't know how I would deal with it if it was just some jabroni like Zach Oyama.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, you know Zach Oyama?
Yeah, I hate his guts. Yeah, I wish
you,
it was...
you don't want to work with him, right?
No.
What about Brennan Lee Mulligan?
No, I think D&D is for squares.
Yeah.
And I don't like his last name.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's exactly
what
how
about
I
Grant O'Brien?
Grant O'Brien, not to see that guy.
Exactly. Sounds like you're having a bad time today.
I'm not having a great time, I'll tell
you. Yeah, it sounds like you must be pretty great. In this, actually, you're happy I'm here, right?
I'm happy you're here.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off that all these other jabronis are here.
Okay, anyway, end scene. Terrific. And that was barely a scene because it was more of like a premonition. Anyway, so look, you guys fucked up and you know it. They know it over there.
They know it.
I sent them a pretty long worded email. I haven't heard back. And listen, you're all getting stunners. Okay. You're getting stunned. I mean, did I say anything that was not far enough? That's what I'm checking. Not if I went too far. Did I go not far enough?
Could you go farther? Probably.
Yeah. I'm not going to, okay? Because we're a positive day.
The PG podcast.
This is a positive day, okay? Anyway, this is the whole situation.
This is hot garbage.
All right. Yeah. Shame. Yeah,
truly devastated.
Oh, yeah. Grant O'Brien?
Shame.
Brandon Lee Mulligan? Shame. Zach Oyama? Shame. Jess Ross? Shame. Who else over there? Sam Reich? Shame. Allison Williams' husband? Shame. Who else over there?
I don't know.
Mike Trapp? Shame. Okay, just the concept of college humor? Shame. Streeter Seidel? Shame. I'm just thinking anyone I know.
Robert Reich, Sam's dad?
Yeah. No, not shame on it. Big fan.
Yeah, big fan
big
of you.
Big fan of that guy.
Big fan of you, sir.
Big fan of him. Big fan. He's, yeah, okay. He's great. He gets a...
Dashing!
Okay. okay. Anyway, my point is that really, I'm going to take college humor and I'm going to...
Burn it down!
Okay, so look, they took my dreams and they... Okay, and you know what? I'm gonna rise, and when I see Cena next time, I'm gonna scream like this lady. You really gotta listen to it, but it is worth it. Okay, all right, let's shake off the goofies, let's shake off the nasty stuff, because honestly, I don't even know why I even put any stake in them. I feel like I
should have known better, dude.
All right. Okay, so cool. Soundboard's back in full effect. I don't know if you could tell.
Yeah.
Soundboards, you know, you're supposed to use it to kind of like highlight what's going on. The way I use it is just I press every button. Okay. So, no, all right, let's move on to something even worse. Enzo Amore fired from WWE. Now, I don't even want to spend that much time on this. I will say the interesting thing about Enzo is I watched this interview with Corey Graves.
Yeah.
It was called like Straight to the Source or whatever. And sorry, I was checking something. I had to check on my phone. But so I watched it, and in it, Enzo is such a dick. Okay, now I walked away from it with the thought that I actually wrote my notes last week, but I don't think I covered was the thing. I was like, either this guy is like a true piece of garbage. Okay,
this is hot garbage.
Or this is not a really funny moment. I don't know why I'm using the soundboard. You gotta forgive me on that. I don't have any. When I'm in here on my own, tonally, the whole thing's off. Shame on me. So, I was like, or he's doing some of the next level heel work.
Right.
You know? Now, I don't think it's fair to use that to judge him.
Right.
So I probably shouldn't even say it because I think, honestly, like when it comes down to it, like I'm very big on like innocent until proven guilty. Like that is something this country is founded on. That being said, I understand WWE releasing him. I understand them being like no tolerance for this kind of stuff, especially because he didn't tell them. But honestly, I hope justice is served correctly. That's all I have to say about it. Like, I don't think it's fair to judge him based on the fact that he's clearly, like, kind of a D-bag to say, like, that he ripped somebody.
Yeah. I'll say this. The swamp. These teenagers, these stunted men. Look, if you... Like, there's a lot of guys out there who are sharing these screenshots of this, allegedly of this woman's texts, trying to say that she's lying, that she's making this up for fame or money, which, by the way, how the fuck do you make money off of this? It's such an absurd argument to make. If you find yourself inclined to be like, oh, maybe she's making it up to be famous, go fucking walk backward into traffic. Right. You hear me? Like, this is so... obviously easy to just give somebody the benefit of the doubt, you swamp dwellers.
Okay.
I get so mad. Like, I need to leave social media. I can't.
Holy motherfucking shit.
Okay, look, now I know what you're saying. I agree. I feel like I'm not knocking your opinion or anything. I obviously agree, but I don't even want to harp on, like, the swampiest of the swamp. Like, they don't get to, they don't infect our podcast. Right. You know what I mean? I get you being heated here, but, like, you know, I talked to Mike Lawrence, who was at Raw 25, and he was sending me, like, comments the whole time and some really funny stuff. But, like, one thing he said is, like, you know, he heard one guy say something. It was like, oh, they're setting him up because, like, no one likes him. So they're like, and you're like, that's just crazy. Yeah. That's just crazy. So anyway, hopefully, look, my hope is that it's not, my hope is that everyone is she's somehow fine and everything's fine, but that's obviously not what it's going to be. Right. I hope everyone's fine here. Regardless of the fact if he did it or not, it is a bummer to lose Enzo as a talent, whether you like him or not.
Sure.
He did bring a really interesting thing here, and I thought last week, I was like, this guy is pushing heel work to a next level, but it seems like there might be too far. And let's see. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah. Too much speculation for me.
Sorry, I had a steak earlier, so my testosterone is through the roof.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I don't mean to shut you down. I just mean, like, let's not – like, it's Rumble week.
I know.
I
know. I just get so frustrated.
I just figure let's bring it up at the top, and let's move on to it. All right, let's get into Raw 25. Yeah, let's get into festiveness.
Yes.
Okay, so – So how'd you feel about Raw 25 as a show?
I would have done a few things differently. I think Jack Mills actually touched on this in the Facebook group. Join the Facebook group. Jerk Mills talked about wrestling at 4 a.m. They should have shot something at Manhattan Center, just like something that goes to the network, and then just show kind of portions of that throughout, like, a Raw episode. Because it felt like this is the moment in wrestling now where I think a passing of the torch is necessary. And I feel like the old guard was very reluctant to pass any kind of torch.
Right.
I think, because I was watching it sort of in the context of wrestling now, like New Japan is big, the indie scene is big.
Right.
And you have these guys like DX who come out in the Manhattan Center. It truly, like, there would be no indie scene if it weren't for DX in the Attitude Era. Like, I mean, the Young Bucks would not exist if it weren't for them. And
they literally do all DX's shit.
Right. Yeah. But, like, there's something, I think they missed an opportunity to really highlight, like, how special this group of guys is and, like, what they did in the context of wrestling now, like, make a nod to it. So I would have maybe adjusted it that way. I thought it was a pretty entertaining show overall. Yeah.
I mean, look, I actually rewatched it because I watched it with a group of people, and I felt like I needed a rewatch. That's it. Like, to come on here and speak. I actually do some work for this podcast, guys. Okay. And I felt like my first run of it, I thought it was terrible. Sure. Like, I walked away being like, this was, like, so bad.
Yeah.
But also that was shaded by the fact that we were thinking about, since it was in Barclays and I have a lot of New York friends and stuff and people who were there, I was thinking, like, oh man, would I have went for those Manhattan Center tickets? And, like, that was a terrible show they got in the Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
And I heard people were really pissed off during the show I heard it was they were palpably like annoyed by that show because they were watching a screen the whole time, and then they got like a garbage Undertaker promo, which we'll get into, and then but then when DX came out, I think they all got happy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah, I think that was the reporting I got on it. But like, look, let's keep it as like a celebration. Let's keep it positive. Yes, the way I would have booked the show would have been way different. I would have had the show been a regular episode of Raw with stars peppered in. Like, I think a segment that was successful was like the Elias segment was successful, but that was a successful segment, which we'll get into, but also it was basically just like a regular segment. I mean, Cena was there, but he's still an active wrestler technically.
Yeah.
I think something like the Peep Show was like kind of like a decent part of the show.
Yeah.
In the sense that like, yeah, I don't want to see the Peep Show. I'm not a Christian Mark by any means. You can listen to our bonus episode of Royal Rumble 2001 where I shoot on his see-through shirt. You know, like his lace shirt that my wife wears now. It's a Lululemon shirt she wears to the gym, and I always hold back saying, you know, Christian used to wear that shirt. Yeah. She doesn't like when I compare her clothes to like wrestling or Star Wars and stuff.
Sure.
You know,
because
it's not a compliment.
Right. No.
It's like saying what you're wearing is costume.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's like nice stuff, you know.
Yeah. You look like the member of an intergalactic consulate.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But women do dress like Jedis a lot, especially on the East Coast when it's cold.
A lot of caftans.
If you slap a saber handle on their belt, you'll just be like, oh, wait, like, get rid of the pocketbook and slap a saber handle.
It's true.
Yeah, you're wearing like a knit robe.
Yeah.
And then like the long hair, just put a Padawan like Kenny Omega braid in there. Look, I think it's a compliment. Honestly, I'm jealous of women. I want to walk around dressed like a fucking Jedi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it would be dope. Anyway, coming at you. Good thing we only have 2 female listeners. All right. that I know of.
Yeah.
Three. One of them's my mom.
I hope that's wrong. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, people paid like $250 a ticket, like starting at the Manhattan Center,
up
and like the Barclay tickets were way cheaper, and that was a way better show. But
yeah,
I would have went to Barclay over the Manhattan Center.
Yeah,
like, I would have known that. Anyway, so let's get into some of the stuff. I still think like the Stone Cold segment to open the show was like really awesome. But yeah, I'm like, let's see Stone Cold with Braun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Christian hosting that show, but then he's interviewing like Rollins and Jordan, and they're moving that storyline, and the bar comes out. It's like, all right, now like we're just peppering in old guys. I think that's cool. Like, I would have just like peppered in more older guys on commentary and bring in some guys to do. I'd be cool, like have like a wrestler like do, you know, have like the Godfather be like the announce the match. Like,
yeah.
Like just stuff like that. That's like an homage. Or I would have interviews about like wrestlers talking about like what they like about the newer guys and who inspires them and reminds them of themselves. Have wrestlers talk, you know, I just think it would have been more of like what's going on now. I would have weaved it better, especially on a Go Home Rumble show.
Well, yeah.
Everyone seems to agree with this point that I've talked to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just
including Skylar Pitch Mr. Perfect asked.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like they should have, used, like put the new generation over a little bit more. And that's where it kind of feels like they weren't. I mean, they just didn't have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But, I would have loved to see what, you know, what's his fucking name? The Godfather. Fuck.
There's such
thinks
like
about
a, there's,
Roman Reigns.
Totally. There's like such like an arrogance of like, oh, we're going to like play poker and we're going to be the center of this segment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like not highlight like one of the newer guys.
I do kind of like though, and I hope I would like to see more of this going forward. I do like that a match was created out of that scenario.
I did also.
Yeah.
I did like that.
I would
a
like
lot.
To see more of it.
But it was a jabroni of a match.
Right.
And someone pointed out when we were watching it, like, oh, that's probably because 205 Live couldn't have a match.
Oh.
Like, they had to just ignore 205. The championship's not around.
Right.
You know? Man, I don't know what they're going to do there. Anyway, so Stone Cold looked amazing.
Yes.
Stone Cold's in incredible shape. So
slimmed down from WrestleMania.
Totally. Yeah. From 32. He's looks really jacked. He's really slim. He looks great. He finally got a pair of jeans that fit. This is the fucking first time he wore like better shoes.
Right.
He comes in with these like shitty sneakers. He's wearing like Sauconys or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, God, Stone Cold, you were like so not cool.
Yeah.
And this time he looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Just got back from Old Navy. Picked up some Sauconys and some jeans with a hammer loop in it. Got to put my hammer in it. I'm working on my deck this weekend. Got to keep my hammer by my side. So I go shopping at Old Navy.
All right.
Cheaper than the Gap.
It was great. Stone Cold said nothing except only gave stunners, which is cool. He cut a promo backstage really good. We posted on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page. You know, the place you're going to wrestling at 4 in the morning. And he had a great promo where I don't know who he was interviewing, like some new
Mike,
jabroni.
Yeah,
like Mike Don Juan. And he's like, that's all the questions you got for me?
Yeah.
You flew me out here from Los Angeles. You're not going to ask me any more questions. Look, do some more. Go home and do your homework.
Yeah, that was great. All right.
He doesn't even get the sound effects time anymore. Yeah. He's like, on the next one.
Yeah, anyway. So that segment was cool. I think my thing would be like, let's tie it into current storylines. Yeah.
Vince
Braun
killed it too.
I think that Vince was great, obviously. He's one of a kind, top of the line, one of a kind. A little Get Out, which was sweeping up Oscar nominations. So I'll give a little shout out there. That show's amazing. Next thing. Miz wins the IC title. So the Miz is the man, obviously. Sunglasses are still not my thing. Right. Whatever. I don't want to get into sunglasses anymore. So he got... The booking here was amazing on the Miz win because he got a pop like he won clean, but he didn't win clean.
Yeah.
I didn't even so the whole crowd was like going nuts for it. So that was great. Like, Miz will win the IC title. I think it's a good thing to do, especially if they want to move Reigns up, whatever. I'm not going to get into it. But, let's have Miz have a meaningful IC battle, a one-on-one great, feud at Mania.
Yeah.
You know? Let's solidify Miz as the best IC champ ever. Let's get him in there. I love Miz Daniel Bryan face off.
Yeah.
I love that beef is always alive. And then Daniel Bryan's out there and they go face to face. It's amazing because if Daniel Bryan ever comes back, the match is Miz.
Yeah.
So if Daniel Bryan is cleared to wrestle at Mania this year, which is clearly, I don't know, could be in the cards actually, technically, Miz is the match.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I love that. The match was cool. It was cool. He also showed up at the Manhattan Center.
Oh, yeah.
He was there 45 minutes later.
Yeah.
With the title. Yeah, love Miz. Great. So let's get into... let's talk about the Asuka. I love when Asuka cuts promos in Japanese.
They're
so fucking dope. She cleaned house. I felt like that was the first time I saw Asuka make a real good impact on Raw.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just plowing through this because I want to talk about the Rumble, but I feel like everything happened was whatever. All right, let's talk about the Elias Cena segment. This we can give some time to. So, this segment was great. I was glad that Jimmy Fallon stayed his drunk ass put in the seat.
Yeah,
the people are watching would pause it if he was wasted.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I was glad he didn't beat up Elias. That's all I mean.
Yeah.
I'm all good with him if they want wrote something for him, whatever. I don't normally give, the celebrity cameos don't bother me that much. But the Cena came out. So Elias was so over. I got a little clip here. I think. Can I find it?
He really seemed like a star
here.
Of course, the WWE I'm talking about is the WWE that stands for... I said WWE stands for... Watch out now.
Watch out,
man.
Yo, so Elias is super over. So clearly WWE is behind him because he got to kind of job out Cena, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're setting up a Cena-Elias, feud, or they just wanted to make Elias look strong while Cena's around, you know. But the thing with Elias is super over. This is what the discussion was on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook for in the morning, is the conversation is what's the staying power of Elias? And I know you feel really strongly about this. My thing is that Elias is got the guitar. He's got an act.
Yeah.
He's got shtick. Shtick plays really well on Raw, right? You see it with Rusev Day. That's a shtick.
Yeah.
Elias, now, we've seen him have a great match with Reigns. He had a match with Cena, right?
Yeah, it was a good one.
And that was a good match. We could see that he can work. He's clearly over with the crowd. To me, I'm he needs one more. I'm not totally sold on him being a top guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Not in the revival. Right. Not in that sense. But, like, I'm not totally sold on it. Where are you at with it?
I think that he's there. I think he can move. He can work really well. He's got a great look. The guy's in fucking awesome shape.
To the gills.
And, I mean, something special happened that night. He was on fire, which means that he can, in the pocket, like, come through and really deliver. Like, he's getting by on charisma alone. You know, he hasn't had a feud, like the Corey Brown pointed out on the Facebook page, 4 a.m. And I don't know what else he needs. Just put him in a program and let him work.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I think I think that he really needs a feud. Like, he's had no feuds. He's had no, like, let's see what happens. I think, like, once he gets out of literally a 5-minute act where he was just, like, introing Miz recently, right? Like, I think we'll see what he's got. But, I mean, this writing, I mean, in general, this Elias writing has been really hot. The Jason Jordan writing has been really hot. The Braun Strowman writing has been really hot. Like, they're really, like, investing in these guys. They're slow building them.
Yeah.
And they're really being methodical about what they do with them in a way that is like, oh, it clearly seems like they're like, oh, we need a new generation of these guys and it's time to do it. And I thought this was a really big, really cool moment.
Yeah.
Cena can always job. Like, he's Cena. You know what I mean? He's always a threat. He's big match John. Like, and it's a spectacle when he walks in the room, you know? Yeah. So I think that was really cool. And also the fact that they were in Brooklyn and they knew, like, hey, Cena's gonna get booed. Yeah. This will get Elias heat that will, for him, will keep him warm.
Right.
You know? So we'll see where they go with here. I would love a Cena Elias like feud going into Mania. I think it could be really cool.
Same.
I want to see that more than Taker. Like, imagine these guys at like a fucking barn burner. Like, you know what I mean? If they're gonna give him 4 minutes, then it won't be good. But we'll see. Got to always remember that the Rumble's not that close to Mania.
Right.
Like, it sets up Mania because it sets up the main event, but you got to remember it does not set up
3 months.
Yeah, and they change belts all the time. I always forget this. Like, I always remember that. Anyway, that was cool. Let's go into that Taker promo. So I rewatched the Taker promo. I thought Taker looked really good.
Sure.
Apparently, Taker's in, like, the best shape. Apparently, he got all the surgeries he needed. Apparently, like, he's, like, from what I hear, is in great shape.
Sure. He looked a little pudgy.
Well, pudgy doesn't really matter. Like, he could be fat. It's all about, like, movement.
Sure.
Like, his hips and stuff.
Got it.
And I heard he got, like, the hip surgery he needed. We all knew he got that. That was reported.
Yeah.
So it's all about, can he move? Like, we don't care if he has, like, a little bit of a gut. Like, doesn't matter. I think, like, he does himself no favors by showing up and just pretending to be a threat and then being indecisive about having a match.
Right.
It just is like he's done this like too many times. I mean, he came out and he was like, I'm here on SmackDown. SmackDown's my home. That promo like 2 years ago. And it was like, what? It's just like, it's cool to see you, but like, man, either hang it up or don't hang it up. This like limbo is just not, it does not feel right.
No. Yeah. I think the most that I want him to retire Kane. Drag him through the fire, back into hell, and that's it. I don't need any more Undertaker matches. I don't need any more Undertaker promos. I love him. I don't want to see him get hurt or die in the fucking ring. I think the match he had with Reigns was not good. I hope that if he has another one, it's better, but I don't know how likely that is. He's, what, 56?
Yeah.
He's old.
Late. He's in the second half.
He's goddamn near 60, and he's no Ric Flair. I just hope that he doesn't ruin his legacy further by just being an old jabroni.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love the Taker, but like, if Taker wants to wrestle, let's bring the authenticity in. That's what always works. It's like, let's bring in the element of like, hey, I'm not what I used to be.
Yeah.
But
even kayfabe it to be like, you know, oh, the forces of darkness are taking my power. I'm like leaving.
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
We get Dark Knight Returns, or let's get, what's another metaphor? Dante Germain said Logan Undertaker.
Yes.
He's like, let's get Logan Undertaker. Yes. Like, let's have him be like, look, like it's just like yeah, like even yeah, like say like even the dark, even the darkness,
yeah,
has an infinite, finite timeline,
right?
And like my energy needs to be absorbed by powers unknown or something, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Just be
so
like,
that a new
but
day
I'm not, get... I'm not done yet,
right.
And I'm gonna persevere, and even though like my physical form is deteriorating, like something like that,
something.
It's
yeah.
like cool. Like let's get into that. Like this, that, that's how you have like a great fifth, sixth act is yeah. by changing. If you're gonna like, I'm still the dead man, and like your matches are bad, it's like promo that your matches are gonna be bad. And be
right.
like, yeah, be like, yeah, I still got tricks up my sleeve, and like maybe use some magic or something.
Yeah,
just like tell us you're doing something different.
Yeah, yeah, like I have to fight. You know what I mean? Like I want to fade into the darkness, but like this body won't until I fight, until I'm gone. You know. There's tons that they could do with it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah. just like, it's like, cause also at the same time, it's like kind of embarrassing for Taker in a way. Like,
yeah.
as like a dude who's like, hey, you're trying to, you retired, man. Like, you got in the ring and you put your hat down. So, like, that's okay. Kayfabe retirements are dope.
In a kind
I love
of
them,
beautiful moment.
Don't
yeah.
do like, don't come back as no. your character and, I mean, I guess, and just like do like this middling thing. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be a tough decision, you know. I mean, what's he's half of his life he's been doing this.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, I think Taker needs to
shit or get.
I
off
think
the
he
pot.
Needs to. I don't think he needs to hang it up.
No.
I'm cool to watch another Taker match. To be honest, like I'm a sucker for it because it's like whatever. But he needs to make a decision
yeah.
and then like execute properly.
Right.
Okay. So, man. I thought Triple H has nailed it, both on Fallon and
yeah.
and I love this promo just about DX. It's essentially what you said.
Yeah.
But like Shawn Michaels was just like bumbling.
Was he drunk?
Drunk. He looked really wasted.
Drunk. Yeah.
He looked really wasted. And this is an example of what I don't love. I don't like the nostalgia act. I don't like, oh, we're going to come out and bury the Revival. Like, the Revival will recover. Everyone knows, like, that was Raw 25 or whatever.
Yeah.
I did think it was a nice touch to, like, bring out Finn, but it's also just, like, even that was kind of, like, the clarity was like,
yeah.
off, you know? Ultimately, for me, it was like, all right, I like the idea. It's like, oh, hey, DX like paved the way for this or that. But that could have been done in like a cooler, classier like segment
yes.
or something, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's what I mean. Like, I think that that whole Manhattan Center thing should have been its own thing. And if there was a passing of the torch from like that to like the club, make it more obvious. Because everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see the guys who invented Too Sweet pass it off onto the guys who like revived it. Nobody would be disappointed by that.
Yeah, totally. Hold on. I have to send this thing about because I'm not going to be able to make it to this show. All right. Yeah, so anyway. Yeah, I mean, how much more do I want to get into here? Because I want to get into talking about the Rumble. But yeah, I mean, just Triple H is just a mega talent. That's all I want to say. Triple
yeah.
H is like such an example of like, He loves his business so much. It's
yes.
so obvious.
Yeah.
And like, he's such like a product of like hard work and
yeah.
like, you see it on his physical form. Like, he looks better than all the other guys his age. Like, he, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
even if he kayfabed Mary Stephanie, like, you know, like he did it for that. It's just like, what, like the commitment. It's like,
right.
I have so much respect for him.
Yeah.
Not because of like the kayfabe Mary. Like, that was just I'm just spitballing. But I mean, just like, fact that he was like, oh, I want to be a McMahon. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he
yeah.
became one. And, like, I just, he's so good at, like, all the other guys seem like such, like, fuck-ups around him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, Sean, let me talk. Like, here's what you mean to say. DX is really important. And, like,
yeah.
he feels like he's the only guy with, like, any semblance of maturity
sure.
for a guy that age. And, like, I don't know. I just respect it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Is that fucked up for the other guys? No, I think
I mean, well, Shawn Michaels is in a weird stage in his life. Like, he's supposed to be like a born again Christian, but I mean, he's showing up to this show obviously fucked up drunk. He's, you know, Billy Gunn is plugging away looking like Ron White.
Right.
Road Dogg is a producer for them, right? So he's still in the company. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, Triple H runs circles around him, obviously. He's like the rock of that group.
Yeah, yeah. So Broken Hardy takes a loss to Bray, which was surprising. But also, I also thought about it. And I was like, Hardy doesn't really need to win matches.
No, never.
He doesn't really need to win matches because no one wants to really see him lose and win and not wrestle. Everyone wants to see him win, but if he doesn't wrestle, it's all good. Like if he just keeps losing and he keeps breaking further and further, and then he's like, oh, I got to bring in Senor Benjamin and whatever. And like, he just keeps going crazier. It's kind of a, it's like a win-win gimmick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do kind of hope that they do something with Bray. Like, I hope that he deletes him and makes him into something.
Well, I mean, if he's not going to delete him, then that's fine. But like, I hope that the whole like broken gimmick has like some real legs to affect like the big title picture.
Yes.
I hope it's not like, I don't agree that it should be like just a mid-card thing. Like, I think like Jeff Hardy can like with that gimmick be a real threat in the heavyweight level. But I am also like all about being more creative with the belt, especially with the way WWE, like, they move these belts around so much. I'm like, why not like move them like fluidly, like better? Like, they don't have like Okada. Like, I guess like Lesnar's like the Okada,
right,
which I'm fine with, except he's just not around. It's time for Lesnar to get out of the way.
Yes.
We all agree, you know? Cool. All right. So I was saying in the peep segment, I love Jason Jordan getting the My Dad heat. All right. So Jason Jordan got so much heat there.
Yeah.
And it's like Reigns heat. Like, it's clearly like they're like trying to shut him down. But there's a playfulness to it that I stick to my thing, which is like, if they turn him heel, which they clearly are doing,
yeah,
it's going to work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
well, do you think it's Reigns heat? Like, I think that people are booing him because, like, I think that people are truly getting worked by Jason Jordan.
Well, I think that I think they're getting worked by the whole thing in the sense that, like, it's Reigns heat in the sense that, like, they're clearly pushing him and everyone thinks it's a little fast.
Right. But that's the thing, is like, it is fast and they know it's fast and he knows it's fast.
Yeah, but if they say the nepotism angle makes it that they are getting worked.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Jason Jordan's potential a lot. I'm not saying he's the most in ring, he's great. And you said the thing, it's like, we're gonna think, when was the last bad Jason Jordan match?
Yeah.
You're gonna be like, never. There was never one. And then I don't think it's like he's some like mega talent that needs the push he's getting. But if they wanted to do it, this was the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, under the like Rollins the tag belt thing, I really like it. And anyway, we'll get into my Fantasy Rumble booking and that'll kind of get into it. Rollins hits Jordan with the knee. Let's keep that in mind. Ric Flair. So we saw Rick. Good to see Rick. The first time I really saw him in a way where you're like, he's like sick. Like,
yeah,
he could not go nuts.
Yeah.
Like, you could see everything in him wanted to like do his like fucking flip out where he goes like bright red and his veins are on the verge of literally shooting blood all over the place.
Yeah.
And you could see there was like a cap.
Yeah.
It was like the ceiling was lower.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still good to see him. The guy's a fucking tank. I love, you know, obviously we all love Ric Flair. But yeah, I mean, you know, those are really all my thoughts on Raw 25. Anything else?
It feels
like a show that, like, was pointless. Like,
yeah.
But very fun.
Yeah.
Like, obviously very fun and very festive. And I was glad we got the Gabba Wee sign up. But
amazing.
Ultimately it felt like, you know, Lesnar and Strowman, like, they had, like, 2 seconds at the end and... You know, the coolest moments were on Raw and SmackDown when Heyman and Owens both said, like, all right, enough with this nostalgia bullshit.
Yeah.
Those were the cool moments. And I didn't think it needed to be, like, a weird nostalgia thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was, like, a choice. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that.
Like, wrestlers don't need to play kayfabe. Like, if you're an old wrestler coming back, like the Pimpin' Ain't Easy segment, like, I'm cool with the Godfather sitting down on commentary and just being like, you know, the pimp gimmick, like during a match, just be like, you know, the pimp gimmick, like, I wasn't that comfortable with that at first. Or like, you know, like, just do like a little non-kayfabe gimmick. Like, you know, it's not like my brain thought that for 30 years, like, the Papa Shango dude was like, was a pimp, you know?
Right.
Rumors are he actually was a pimp. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
Someone had told me that. All right, let's listen to some cash-ins from some listeners about Raw 25. Cool?
Yep.
It is Charlie Carroll, who's a patron. Thanks for supporting the show.
What is up, Jabroniacs? Welcome to the most must-see listen-to podcast on UCB Network. Welcome to Cow TV. This is Charlie Carroll proposing, inducting... presenting my first ever cash in for the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. I just have to say that, first of all, Nick Tulo, haven't always been the biggest fan. Sometimes I'm a fan, sometimes I'm not. But I gotta say,
I love people
that
have
last night at Raw 25th anniversary, you held it down for the Cow Nation. You represented for the Gabba Wee movement. And I have to say that tonight in Washington, D.C., on January 23rd, I am here to represent for all of the jabroniacs in the cow universe. Had a lot to drink, had a good time, hung out with some friends. They didn't all accept my Gabba Wee message. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what to do with it. Well, you know what Charlie has to say for them.
It doesn't matter.
How about it?
Swerve.
All right. All intros aside, that RKO out of nowhere, I always assumed that throughout all of the WWE universe that when someone sees Randy Orton coming, that, like, it was obvious, it was noticeable, it was something to be expected. I was watching intently, I was watching patiently. I had no fucking clue that he was coming to RKO Shinsuke or Baron Corbin. That's all I'm going to say because a lot happened. Sami Zayn completely owned it, grabbed the brass ring tonight. But anyway, I'll keep it short, keep it simple. Charlie Cow, representing in D.C. Thank you, Jabroniacs, for your time, for your attention. It was a great night, and I am so glad to have represented the Gabba Wee movement in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. How about it?
All right, Charlie Carroll, yeah. Awesome, bringing up the RKO out of nowhere from live, representing the Gabba Wee movement. Listen, Gabba, what is the yes? What would be the yes chant for Gabba Wee? Would it be Gabba?
I guess
Gabba,
yeah.
Gabba. All right, I don't know.
It was Wee.
I guess Gabba, Wee, Gabba, Wee. All right, whatever. I did see that. Well, first off, you got to find some new friends because if they're not supporting the Gabba Wee movement, then they don't know what's up. What are they watching
that.
Football?
Yeah.
Are they having like a 7-layer dip watching Tom Brady, best of all time, no inflammatories,
bringing home the gold this year?
Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, the same guy wins every fucking year, man.
Go Birds.
Anyway, oh yeah,
Go Birds. Go Birds.
Okay, go. Birds.
Go
then
Birds.
I would respect football. You know, the interesting thing about football is, like, I'll like pop it on. Like, if I sit and watch football, I'm like, this is a good game.
Yeah.
It's like wrestling. Like, it makes no fucking sense.
Right.
That game is so bad, football. Like, as a game, the rules are so fucking convoluted. Like, I love it. Like, it's just like, what? That's illegal? Yeah. What do you mean? Just like playing defense is illegal,
right?
No, he's not allowed to be over there. Why?
Yeah.
It's like, how much is that? How many points is that worth? Why is that worth that? But but that being said, when I watch it, the convolutedness reminds me of professional wrestling, and I really like it. But like, it feels like they're always cracking down on the fun shit in football. Like, they're like, no taunting, like, no, like, hating the people. It's like, come on, man, it's all the shit that's fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I think Charlie. Thanks, man. Listen, Charlie, your cash in was a little long. Didn't cut it off. You know why? I think you might have been the first patron. And I will never forget that, bro. Thanks. Wow. Thank you for supporting the show.
He also sent me a message on Facebook worrying if it would be too long. I was like, it'll be okay.
No, it's all good. You get a pass for that. Anyway.
You were right. It was too long, but it's okay.
That's okay. Let's listen to one more cash in about Raw 25.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, for this week only, the second most must-hear cash in segment of this podcast. Welcome to Huff Nation. And it's only second because I'm really interested to hear who is a person. This week, he looked like he had a great time. Well, it was a great time this week. Barclays was all sorts of fire this week. But that's not the point. The point is, Hope Nation's here for a cash-in. We all love Hope Nation. We love Hope Nation. We know Dan Black, Alex Newman, Nick Tulo, James. Or not Dan,
I mean,
Jack,
I can't.
Rose,
can you understand this?
This morning.
Barely.
They all love Hope Nation. And Hope Nation, what I have to say today is, Ro Roman Reigns dropped the Intercontinental belt, which everyone on subreddit, all these things, they're just pointing fingers, oh, Roman Reigns is going to win.
I can't really understand it, can you?
I'm going to throw my bone out there. I'm going to say right now, on this Tuesday morning, whatever time, 11:24 Eastern, whatever time I'm calling, Roman Reigns and John Cena are the final two people in the ring before the end of the Royal Rumble match.
Huh.
And ladies and gentlemen, John Cena will be walking out of that as the Royal Rumble winner. I'm so confident Roman Reigns will not be the Royal Rumble winner because I personally think this is John Cena's
way
to be solidified.
We got the point.
All right, we got the point. Your audio quality is not good enough to let you keep going.
Voice memos, bro.
Yeah. All right.
The reception at Huff Nation is not great.
Zig, how do you feel about opening up cash-ins to allowing people to record from their computers and emailing?
That works either way. I get a notification, so if someone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning,
that's what Tulo decided is like the way to do it.
I mean, yeah, the audio quality is better, and also you have to worry about talking through a trash can.
Yeah.
So I think, you know what? All right, here's what we're gonna do. If you live in a place where your phone connection sounds like ass, email me at. And I'll take care of your cash-ins.
Let's just change the process, no? Why don't we just...
No, still call, use the cash-in line.
Okay, all right.
But also don't send me tons of fucking emails unless you have a bad phone connection. That's the precedent.
Whatever you do, don't sign Zig up with the email he just gave you to various newsletters.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, Zig, you gave out your email. I was going to say, let's set up a separate email.
Oh, well, we have comedians of... Oh, I edit this so I can bleep it out. But we can also email comedians of wrestling the email... at Gmail.
Oh yeah, comedians of wrestling at Gmail. But there's two of them. I have one and you made a new one. Look, anyway, let's
welcome to the production meeting. Yeah,
we'll figure it out, folks.
Especially I got two more hours left. All right. Yeah, let's all right. So yeah, cool. All right, let's give Tulo his cash in. He deserves
yes.
it.
I keep on
I regret
cashing
it already.
In. 4:16 p.m. East.
Tulo singing "I Keep on Falling" Alicia Keys as a homage to our bonus episode now available on the main feed.
Oh wow!
You can listen to our time capsule Royal Rumble 2001 episode where we watched Royal Rumble 2001 and did an episode like we just watched it back in 2001 on my 17th birthday. Check that out on the main feed. If you dug it, it's sponsored us by our Patreon. Become a patron.
And Nick Tulo, maybe wait till 4:20 next time because RVD 4:20 says I just smoked your ass.
Standard time, Wednesday. Terrible fucking Tulo. It's good to see that The Miz is a fan of Tulo time. With his timestamps on his Instagram posts. I mean, it's a beautiful day to be a part of the Cow Nation, baby. The Cowlick is thriving harder than ever. We got merch.
Disgusting.
We got a Patreon page. Raw 25 was insane. We got Gobble Wee signs. We got Newman as a troll signs. We're everywhere, baby. There's no stopping us. We're taking this shit to the moon. 30 people in the Royal Rumble second annual pool. Everybody's paid up except for Dan and Skyler. Make sure you give them shit. I mean, you would think the two guys, you know, one's a movie star and the other one's the host of this podcast would be the first two to pay. But, you know, it's okay. Whatever. Don't worry about it. We're here, baby. Number 30. You know I'm taking that shit down. It wasn't rigged. You saw it. It was live on Facebook. You could see the bowl. You could see me not picking. Danny was the witness. Clearly, he was watching and making sure nothing was going down. In all seriousness, though, Charlie Lint, we love you, brother. Keep watching wrestling, man. Stay positive. We're all here for you, dude. Whatever you need, you just call upon us. Hope we can make you laugh on a daily basis. Keep making you keep that positive mind frame, my dude. Road to WrestleMania, baby. We're in it. Hope you're ready. Strap in, baby, because the Cow Nation is taking this shit to the moon. Gabba gabba. Yeah, baby. I'm out, bitches. Peace.
All right, Tulo, back in my bad graces immediately.
I gotta say, Tulo, look, because you made that Newman as a troll sign, I want you to picture that you're in the ring and I'm in the ring and you think I'm gonna beat you up, but then suddenly I take out a shirt and it's a Newman World Order shirt and I offer it to you. You have a spot in the Newman World Order if you want it because I was impressed with your sign and your. The gumption and the frankly, testicular fortitude it took to shoot on me on live TV.
Wait, speaking of Newman World Order shirts, if you're thinking about picking up a Comedians of Wrestling shirt at ProWrestlingTees/Comedians of Wrestling,
yeah.
If you're thinking about doing it, do it sooner rather than later, because we need to get a certain amount of shirts to sell before the let me add more designs.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're looking for that Newman World Order shirt and all the other cool shirts we have in the pipeline, order them away so I can unlock full merch potential.
Cool.
I don't know what the numbers are. We're probably close to it. But yeah, if you're thinking about it, just do it.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yeah.
Get your boo a shirt.
Buy this for your, I don't know, hopefully there's a lot of man-on-man relationships happening, because we have not that many female listeners. I would love to see some stats. We just don't have as many in the Facebook page.
True, yeah.
All right, cool. Anyway.
We got a lot of teenagers from...
because I don't think that many...
From Africa.
From Africa,
which
yeah.
is great. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. All right, cool. Hey, here's my notes on SmackDown this week. Cammy is not funny.
Nope.
And Randy Orton is out of nowhere. Like, Randy Orton gets heat. And he gets pop for one thing. It's RKOing out of nowhere. But it is so good.
Yeah.
It is so good that it works every fucking time. This was his most out of nowhere one, because he's been, this is his, just a heel. I don't know if he's going full heel, because it might have just been like, I'm coming for everyone at the Rumble. Right. You know what I mean? But
yeah, because Asuka did that. Yeah.
Right, so. Right. Asuka did also. So I don't know if it means going heel, but like, that's a really glimpse of Randy Orton. The guy's a fucking mega talent.
Yeah.
He,
you know,
Triple
wouldn't
H
mind-
said it best. He was like, this guy, he's disappointed in him. Like, he could do more.
Yeah.
It is just so true. Like, if he could do more if he wanted to.
Yeah. I know what? Thinking about this, I wouldn't mind a Shinsuke Randy Orton like feud.
It seems like we might get that.
Yeah.
That might be the Mania match. That'd
like,
be a really cool.
I would like that match.
Yeah. That would be for no belt or anything. All right, cool. Hey, let's move it. So Royal Rumble's here.
Yeah.
Let's move. All right, let's get some drops here. Let's move on. We shot on College Humor.
Yep.
We send our well wishes to Charlie the Dryer Lint.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on the Enzo Amore situation. We recapped Raw 25. Now we're getting into my fucking favorite thing in life. You know, like that song from Sound of Music? It's like, you know, like, these are a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
Royal Rumble's in mine.
Yeah.
You want me to sing my version of it?
Watching the Rumble and...
Here's my favorite thing. These are the... watching Royal Rumble and drinking LaCroix. Having a cold brew while watching the Royal Rumble. When it is over, I restart the Rumble. Now I get two Rumbles. This is the best! yeah, that's my song, man. That's me as my Julie Andrews.
New drop.
Yeah.
Number one, trending on iTunes already.
My favorite things are I have this, one of my first stand up bits was saying like that favorite thing song was just like, in one of the lyrics is like brown paper packages tied up with string. I was like, is that really one of your fucking favorite things in the world?
Yeah.
A brown paper package tied up with string.
It's like a Jerry Seinfeld bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I wrote that probably was like 21,
oh,
22.
Wow.
I still think it's funny.
Yeah.
It is funny. Because I think I go on to say, like, well, does it matter what's in the box? Like,
the
what if there's shit in the package?
Yeah, you know
what I mean?
What if it's a smaller box that doesn't have paper and string on it?
And I was like, I'm like, what a low maintenance wife.
Oh, yeah.
That was a real swampy, one of my old swampy jokes.
Yeah.
Like, she, all she wants is a brown paper package tied up with string. That's it. I'll marry her. God. Should we cut that? Is that problematic also?
No, I mean, you're copping to it.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing while I'm saying it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Anyway, time's up on my Sound of Music material.
Boy.
Okay. So.
Took a very strange turn.
Yeah.
Was that
story.
Bad? Oh, yeah. All right. Cut that.
Well, since I don't have.
Is that bad?
No.
Guys,
no.
You got to tell me what's bad.
No, it's
I don't
not
want
bad.
People mad at me.
It's not
although
bad.
Our listeners are cool. They know
yeah,
that I'm a good
it's fine.
Person.
And also, like, the three straight guys in this room are probably not the best peer-reviewed system for determining.
That's right. Yeah, I got to check in with Anosh.
Yeah.
He knows.
So, I don't have full booking, like fantasy booking. I just have one moment that I want to kind of pitch.
I have full booking.
Yeah. So, I want to get to yours, but because I don't have a lot, I just want to get mine out of the way.
Okay. Fine.
So this is what I want to happen. I want Finn Balor to win the Royal Rumble. And here's how I want it to go down. He's the last one in there with Roman Reigns. All of a sudden, Triple H's music hits. Him and DX take the fucking stage. They shoot the fucking Too Sweet at the stage. Distracts Reigns. Finn puts him over. Finn wins the wins the Royal Rumble. Goes to WrestleMania. Tells a classic wrestling story against Brock Lesnar. Regains his red belt. That's what I want. I want a DX interference, a Too Sweet passing of the torch. You're the Too Sweet now.
Your fantasy booking, similar to my fantasy booking, is what you want to happen, not what you think will happen by any means.
This will not happen, but that's what I want to see.
Okay. I'm going to go into my full fantasy Rumble booking, and you can dissect it as we go.
Cool.
But first, I'm going to take a piss. We take one quick break before I do it?
Zeke's like,
care? So before, before I get into my Rumble predictions here, I noticed Anosha's here, and I would just want to give him some quick shit. I mean, what is this Yoko Zumba post on the Instagram?
Oh, my God. I'm going against the grain. I didn't take your advice. It was too hot. The content was too hot. I couldn't let it sit there.
Didn't we last time talk about, you had Samoa Jody Foster, and this one is just Yoko Zumba?
Alex Newman brought up a great point that it was the most engaged post on the Instagram page.
I mean, I'm right here. You don't have to use my full name. Yeah.
I know, but you
Alex Newman of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast.
All right. I just think we're so much funnier than this. I mean,
have you seen the videos?
The videos are great.
Yeah.
I'm pro the videos. Yeah. We're posting videos. We shot one like 10 minutes ago. Our videos, we're going to make, our goal is to make the funniest, shittiest videos. we're making our own videos. Yeah, no, all right, whatever. I don't need to get defensive of the videos.
Paired with videos paired with.
So you're gonna keep. You're saying you're gonna keep at it. Is that what you're telling
can't
me?
Can't stop, won't stop.
All right, fine. All right. Hashtag.
You seem like your technique is like a monster factory. Like you just take two things and smash them together.
Yeah, you want to hear some more pitches?
I think it's better that we hear them before.
Yeah, sure. But I would like to do my Rumble, but all right, what?
Stone Cold Steve Boston. Just Stone Cold's head inside the state of Boston.
I tweeted that.
Oh, really?
That's not a clever tweet.
It's a good, yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's fucking stupid.
That's a good tweet. I like that one.
His head mashed into the shape of the state of Boston.
Oh, that's a different direction.
I guess visually, I like that.
What was your direction with it?
Where he's just like, oh, wicked fucking queer. You know?
Okay, well, let's merge those two concepts. There we go, hot God. Content.
All right, cool.
John Cena Warrior Princess.
Okay. Okay. You're like the only one who gets paid here, and this is what you do. Oh my God,
Les Mis. That's a very
simple. Oh my God, that would have made me laugh. Yeah. Damn it! All right, you know what, Anosh? I'm giving you full permission to post these. Stop spoiling them. Post them. They're all right. I laughed. I have to cop to the fact that I did laugh.
I broke him down.
All right. And the confidence of the delivery, your delivery was good. All right. Check out our Instagram. What's it? At Comedians of Wrestling.
Comedians of Wrestling. We got the handle.
We have exclusive content in there. You can't find it at the Facebook page where you can talk about wrestling in the morning. All right. Let's get into my fantasy booking, Anosh. Okay. All right.
You got it. Let's get into it.
All right. Newman, you ready?
I'm ready.
This is for the men's Rumble. I didn't do the women's Rumble because this took me so much longer than I anticipated. I thought I was going to do the women's Rumble.
Right.
Okay. All right, so I got to preface what happens on the pay-per-view to set this up. So, Styles is still the champion, okay? Lesnar, still the champion. He pinned Kane. Rollins and Jason Jordan retain. Newman, you have to hear this.
I'm listening.
Rollins and so keep in mind that Rollins hit Jordan with the knee.
Right.
During Raw 25. Okay? So coming in, there's a little bit of... They're fractured a little bit coming in. They retain the belt, but they're beefing over Rollins stole the finish. He gives the curb... Jason Jordan's about to get the pin. He gives the curb stop. Okay? Uh-huh. You know, I'd have to figure out the exact booking there.
Sure.
I'm not an agent, okay? But he steals it, and then the... Jason Jordan's a little bit heated about it, and they kind of like, the ref has to kind of break them up. They're heated about it. They put their hands up reluctantly. They walk away. So we go into the Rumble match thinking that Jordan and Rollins, They go in having that heat because maybe we'll set up a match for them, you know?
Right. Okay.
Okay. Cool. So, number one entrant is, and I stole this from someone on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Not stole it. I like the booking.
Sure.
Number one, Elias.
Yeah.
Have Elias coming in at number one. Get the rumble going with the spotlight. You know, like, he's number one. And, like, we don't need to actually time how much time comes out for number two because they do that. They space it out where, like, it's, you know, not exactly the same. Surprisingly, I need another water somehow.
There you go.
Give me that one. All right, Jabroni Egg. Just throw it. It's fine. All right, so number two is Cena.
Oh, okay? Shit. Yeah.
So Cena is, obviously, we get Cena come out. Elias is in ring. They come out. They duke it out. They're, like, really beating the shit out of each other. Start this rumble hot. Yeah. I think once Cena comes, they're going to be happy to see Elias. We start it hot. Then, like, three, four, five, they come out. As they're coming out, Cena and Elias take a break from beating each other up to toss out that one guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then once they eliminate 3, 4, 5, they're in there by themselves again.
Yeah.
They go at it again. Okay? Then, by number six, Orton comes in.
Okay.
Okay? Adds a real threat there. Right. Now, okay, now we start filling the ring. Orton comes out number six. Okay? Number seven, Seth Rollins comes in the seventh spot. Number eight, we get one half of the club. I don't care which one of them are. Right. Spoiler alert, neither of them are winning. Okay? they come out. Then number nine, half of the Miz Taraj comes in. Okay? 10 comes out. Now, by this time, the ring is pretty full already. Sure. Number 10. Okay? They got, and now there's enough real threats in there. You know what I mean? You got Rollins in there. You got Orton in there. You got Cena in there. I mean, Elias is a semi-real threat to win the Rumble. He'd be a real dark horse, but it's possible.
Yeah.
At this point, they're all fighting. Cena and Elias knock each other out simultaneously, okay?
Yeah.
They fall over the top ropes while fighting, or maybe somebody kind of pushes, gives them like a nudge or something or whatever. They fall out, okay? And they're still beefing. They're fighting, punching each other, leaving the ring. We establish a Cena-Elias thing. We get Elias over. He looks really strong in the scenario.
Yeah.
You know, no one has the job. I would be fine with Elias knocking out Cena and then someone flipping over Elias or not vice versa. I would like Elias to eliminate Cena.
Sure.
Okay, because why not keep the momentum for that? Get Cena, like, really pissed at this guy who's going to fight who has no belt.
Yeah.
Then, all right, we get to, like, number 12 zone. Number 12, Doink the Clown comes out. We get a return spot.
Alex Marks out.
Yeah. Doink the Clown will get the Philly crowd so hot.
Yeah.
He comes out with Dink.
Yeah.
I would love if Dink, I guess this is not, like, with the times, but, he makes himself a stepping stool, and then Doink steps up on him, whatever, just to find a place for him. Doink comes in, the second he steps in the ring, immediately hit with an RKO out of nowhere. Orton tosses him over to the top. The crowd gets hot. Cool. Now, I don't have a lot of, like, funny entrance in this because we just had Raw 25.
Sure.
So they're not going to get a lot of pop, I don't think. So I think we should kind of avoid the stunt. I was like, just doing because I thought he was missing from Raw 25.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, you following this so far? How you feeling about it?
I'm listening.
Okay, you're not into it already. What a jabroni. Okay, number 13. Miz comes out.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Miz goes nuts. He walks like he's going to enter the ring, steps down, goes to the commentary table.
Yeah.
Doesn't enter the Rumble yet, okay? Cole accuses him of waiting for the other half of the Miz Taraj to show up for protection. Right now, one half of the Miz Taraj is in. Use your imagination. If you're more of a Axel fan, then he's in there. If you're more of a Bo Dallas fan, which is probably what I would think of the two, he's in there. Okay. He goes, no, that's not what I'm doing. He's here because he's here to tout the IC belt.
Got it.
And his win over Reigns, which he felt like didn't get enough attention. Everyone was focused on Stone Cold. Everyone was focused. And they didn't give him shit enough. They didn't give him enough props for the fact that he went to the Manhattan Center.
Right.
To pay homage to both sets of fans. And he's disrespected. Okay. He's on there. All right. Number 14. The other half of the club shows up. Okay. So the club's fully in there. Number 15. Jason Jordan shows up. Him and Rollins get in the ring. They start punching each other in the face, okay?
Yeah.
They're punching each other. Maybe that spot is like Rollins comes in. He starts beating everyone up. Accidentally hits Jason Jordan also. You know when, Jason Jordan accidentally hits Rollins. You know they all show up. to like when they come in, they're like stronger than everyone because they're fresher.
Yeah.
He comes in, accidentally takes out Rollins. Like, oh shit. And that just sparks it. These guys are fucking pissed at each other.
Yeah.
Okay. This is already started on Raw. They had the knee incident.
Yeah.
And it's going into this. Okay. So, number 16, the other half of the Miz show up. And this means Miz decides he is now confident enough to enter the Rumble. Okay. And he walks around the ring, touring the IC belt around the ring. Okay. He's about to enter and he's making a big spectacle of it. You know, he's looking for his way to do it. All of a sudden, number 17, the number's counting down before Miz can get in. Finn Balor's music hits. Okay. Finn comes out, sizes up Miz outside. Gets a look at that IC belt. Finn is like, ooh, you know what? I've never had a taste of this IC belt.
Yeah.
I've never had this IC belt.
Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. He's like, this belt is too sweet. And yeah, he's like, ooh, maybe this is something I should go after. I don't know. You know, maybe he says,
because at Extreme Rules, we have a vital. Oops.
Maybe he says something like that.
We.
Maybe he says my dad. Who knows? All right, he comes in. So Finn, the size of Miz. Miz enters the ring. The Miz and Raj start bubbling him. You know what I mean? They keep him in a perimeter. All right? And then Finn comes in. And then
the club is still in the ring.
The club enters next to him. Everyone else is tired. These guys have a showdown. The three of them have a showdown. The club and the Miz and Raj. Love it. Okay? These guys... Okay, so Finn and the club, they eliminate Miz and the Miztourage.
Okay.
Take them out. Okay? And Miz is pissed. This was his moment. Shinsuke shows up, number 20. Okay, now we're at number 20. Well, number 19, Bobby Roode shows up.
Sure.
I said that, like, Bobby Roode, he will set up some kind of four-way match at Mania. Like, they'll tease it, or I don't know where they'll go with it, but he'll set up some beef with Corbin, Owens, and Zayn. So they all are in the U.S. title picture.
Got it.
Kind of, maybe, okay? Unless Owens wins. Unless one of these guys wins. You don't know what my booking is, okay? 20, Shinsuke shows up. Immediately eliminates Randy Orton. Still pissed off from Tuesday.
Yeah.
Did not enjoy that. Gives him a Kinshasa over the rope. Okay? Shinsuke's getting hot. They're popping for him. Number 20, Roman Reigns comes in.
Battle.
Roman Reigns. Boo. Big boos in Philly.
Yeah.
He brushes him off. He doesn't care. Comes in, kicks a lot of ass, starts eliminating whatever jabronis need to go.
Yeah. So he has like the Kane spot. Where
he's taking out the Usos. He takes out maybe Corbin.
Yeah.
Takes out like whatever goof spot, like an Ellsworth or whatever, you know? And then while this is happening, Finn Balor and Reigns get into it for a second. While that's happening, doesn't notice, Miz comes back, eliminates Finn.
Oh.
He's pissed off at Finn.
Ooh. Sets up a feud.
Okay, Finn, Miz. Is that something you're interested in seeing, a Finn, Miz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a sweet spot for the IC belt. It elevates the belt. It's good for everyone, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because they both have stables, you know?
Yeah.
Could be cool. All right. So 22, 23, 24, 25, that's like Usos, whatever. That's kind of a bunch of jabroni spots. You can obviously switch it around. Reigns can come in 23,
right,
not 22. You know,
but
it doesn't matter.
You're getting Fandango. You're getting...
Right. All the jabronis. Maybe even Kane, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So number 28 is the next important entrant, okay? And starting to get into it, you're like, oh, who's this going to be? Taker.
Oh,
okay?
Shit.
Taker comes out, goes, he comes in the ring... And he goes head-to-head with Reigns.
Takes 10 minutes to get to the ring.
Everyone stopped. At this point, a lot of people are eliminated. Reigns stands in the middle of the ring because this is his yard.
Yeah.
Okay? Now the guy's coming to reclaim his yard. Mm-hmm. Comes in. These guys face off. They're facing off for a long time to the point where the count starts knocking. It starts going down. They're about to punch each other. 29 goes off. Where's my sound drop? Here is...
What's this do? What's this soundboard do? If I hit this button on this soundboard, I shut this whole podcast down. Hey, Zig, what's this do?
What's this do? What's this do?
All right, so Strowman comes in. So this is like they're about to face off, but this is like, oh, remember the unsettled beef between Reigns?
Yeah.
And Strowman just is pissed off. He didn't win the belt.
Yeah.
He just lost, okay? And he didn't even lose. Lesnar and Kane teamed up on him to take him out. They put him through, like, four tables,
right,
okay?
Any Spanish announce table, German announce
every,
table.
Wingdings announce table. Languages you don't even know. Hieroglyphic. Okay? So then Strowman, he enters. He goes after everyone. Find himself head-to-head with Taker and Reigns. Nice. He throws out someone with a face push. Okay? Yeah. Like someone gets like pushed and
Mojo
they fly
Rally.
Over.
Mojo Rawley. Yeah.
Someone smaller than that probably because it'll look better. Right, but that's fine. Maybe like Matt Hardy. Okay, he finds himself head-to-head with Taker and Reigns. Strowman eliminates Taker easily.
Yes.
Easily. Okay? Because he's fired up.
Right.
And Taker looks weak. I want Taker to look weak.
Okay?
I'm into that. As that's happening, he eliminates Taker. Easily in the sense that, like, it's easy. But not like... He's still fighting Taker.
Right.
You know, but he does it pretty easily considering it's Taker. Yeah. Okay? But while that's happening, Strowman celebrates. Reigns spears Strowman out of the ring.
Okay. Over the rope?
Over the top. Or whatever spot they choose to make him eliminated. Yeah. Okay? And Reigns starts screaming at the top of his lungs. Philly is booing like fucking crazy. And he just keeps just being like, this is my yard. Because this is the kind of heat I want.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Maybe now, Strowman goes over the ropes and then he's like standing on the apron and then Roman spears him through and then that counts as an elimination for Braun but not for Roman.
But Braun's eliminated?
Yeah.
They both go through.
Braun goes over but lands on the apron. Reigns spears him through but he's not eliminated because he
went
through.
Love that spot. It seems really hard to pull off but that's cool.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, cool. So then now you are down... You're down to right now in the ring. There's like maybe a jabroni or two, and there's Rollins, Jason Jordan, Roman Reigns, and then number 30 comes out a bruised up Kevin Owens from getting brutalized by AJ Styles. He's like limping, okay, and he comes out. He starts eliminating some SmackDown guys or whatever, and then we get down to Rollins, Jason Jordan, Reigns, and just Owens. These are the last four in the ring.
Okay,
all these guys could win the Rumble. Okay, Jason Jordan's maybe the dark horse there. You know. But they're all, like, top guys. You know what I mean? Okay. So then I think Zayn shows up to help Owens.
Sure.
Okay? Which he's done before. So Jason Jordan, he takes out Zayn okay? And Kevin Owens goes to capitalize and take out Jason Jordan. And Reigns tosses Kevin Owens out.
Okay.
So he saves Jason Jordan there, okay? He's got Jason Jordan's back. Now we have Jason Jordan, Rollins, and Reigns, okay?
Okay.
All right. Reigns is important here because Reigns is the guy no one wants to win.
Right.
And you want the heat of, like, Reigns almost winning. Okay. So they stand tall, the three of them, triangle formation. Jason Jordan and Rollins, we know, have been beefing all night.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan and Rollins, they go at it. Immediately, because they're mad at each other. Reigns stands there just being like, hey, if these guys want to kick each other's asses, whatever, I'll just chill. You know what I mean? He might even hang on the ropes. Might be too cartoony, but he might hang on the ropes just to symbol like, hey, fuck it. Like, you know, I don't have to do anything. Okay? I'm happy to just watch. As they rumble, at one point, Jason Jordan and Rollins simultaneously stop, and they both bounce off the ropes. And they eliminate Reigns together.
On purpose?
On purpose.
Shit.
Take him out. And then Jason Jordan and Rollins hug. Jason Jordan allows Rollins to, like, easily toss him out of the ring. Okay? I have another alt booking for this. Okay? And then they grab the mic. Rollins grabs the mic and says, this is the champions club. Okay? Now, they're the tag champions. Yeah. Rollins wins the Royal Rumble. And they're going for the belt.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey, we're collecting gold. Jason Jordan. So now this is a good spot for Jason Jordan because it leads to him being like showing respect, being like, I'm under the tutelage of Seth Rollins,
sure.
The architect, who architect all this. Now Rollins has become the architect again.
Okay.
Look, I sculpted this whole thing. This was all my plan.
So this is a heel turn for Rollins again?
No. Okay. He's still a face.
Okay.
I mean, like, yeah.
So, but the shield, on paper, the shield is still together. Roman isn't pissed at him.
No, Shield's not together.
Okay.
I'm saying it's technically a heel turn,
yeah.
But like everyone's going to still love Rollins for it.
Right.
He's still going to be, ha-ha. Like, he could still laugh again.
Yeah.
He could be like, yo, like, This was my plan all along.
Right.
It's like I had Jason Jordan come up the pipeline. I heard T-Man Rose. Whatever you want to do. Right. The writing there. But then you have Jason Jordan in the spot of like, hey, I'm like, you slow him down a little bit. Have him be like, hey, my dad doesn't respect me. I'm with the Rollins here. Like, you know, and then you eventually lead to a Rollins feud, but you have Rollins come out of Mania. You're setting up Rollins, Brock Lesnar with Jason Jordan in Rollins' corner.
Yeah.
So that the match can have like an element of making Rollins like beefier.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like he's got muscle with him.
Yeah.
And like now you replace the whole J&J security with Jason Jordan.
Got it. J&J. I think it's,
yeah. So anyway, the other thing you can do if you don't like the thing of him being eliminated, if you don't like the thing of like Jason Jordan knowingly eliminating himself, right. But that's always a spot I always like. I like someone like stepping over the rope to eliminate themselves. You could have it like they go after Reigns and then Jason Jordan accidentally flips over the ropes.
Right.
Like going after him, but then he comes in and like holds up Rollins and he's there for him. But I like the more thing. It's just like I'm the architect. I like we make Rollins cool again.
Yeah.
Give Rollins the architect. Give him the plan. Give him the Hannibal Lecter, like, I manipulated Jason Jordan into letting me win.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I hope it's as entertaining as that. I don't think it will be.
No. Now, keep in mind, this is my booking of, like, something I would like to see happen. Obviously, you could tweak it a little bit, but I think I would like Rollins to win. Okay. I think... Let's not waste years of Rollins' career here.
Right.
Let's get him back. He could be a face as he comes out on Monday wearing the gloves. He goes, I'm not, like, I'm the architect. I planned this whole thing. None of you thought I was in the WrestleMania picture, and I had the plan. My plan was Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will pay him. He'd be like, and I will take care of Jason Jordan. He will get a title shot when I win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. And, like, obviously he's playing Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan's been played by everybody. His dad... Right? Anyway, what do you think? What's your problem? You have any problems? I'll take them.
I would...
I mean, besides the fact that you want Finn to win.
Yeah, no. I would have a couple more surprise entrants in there, like a Mankind. You know, stuff like that. But no, like I said, I hope it's as entertaining as that. That seems pretty fun.
All right, let's just keep it as simple as, like, if the final three, I think Jason Jordan is really cool to be in that final three.
I'll take kind of what you said. I'll flip it. I'll make, I think Triple H should be in the Rumble. And I think he comes out, it's Roman Reigns, Triple H, and Finn Balor as the final three. Triple H looks at Balor, two sweets him. They eliminate Reigns, and then
why are you pairing Triple H with Balor because they did on Monday?
Yes, and then Triple H eliminates himself for Balor.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the whole
not going to happen.
No,
ever.
No,
but I think it would be cool.
Okay. Well, anyway, this is my booking of it. Look. By the way, before you knock my booking of the Rumble, before you do it, anyone who's listening, sit down and try to book the Rumble and see how difficult it is.
Yeah.
Like, this was actually being like, I was like a writer here, being like, okay, what do you have to do? And like, first off, it's super fun. It's what a job. But I am saying that, like, you got to think about it in terms of there's so many elements to think of. But I think a Finn Miz IC belt match could be really good.
That seems fun.
Because of the Miz Taraj element. Anyway, hey, let me know what you think of my fantasy booking in the Rumble. I think Seth Rollins should win this Rumble. It's time to like give him his mojo back. Like let's make him real. Let's make Rollins great again.
Okay.
Anyway, Merga. That's our episode, guys. Hey, I think it's enough talking, right?
Yeah.
Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.